tonight, amen, we come to the part of the service. We're ready to hear the word of God. Did anybody come ready to hear the word of God? Amen. Tonight, amen, I'm going to continue to share on the end times. Amen. On the end times. Amen. And I want to talk to you tonight. Amen. About the rapture. Amen. We'll talk to you about the rapture. Amen. And that has everything to do with the end times. Amen. With the rapture. And it's a beautiful, the rapture is a beautiful event for the church. Amen. It's a beautiful event for the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, worship team. You may go ahead and find your seat. Amen. And go ahead and grab your Bibles and let's go to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I want you to know that tonight, amen, as I talk about the rapture, one of the titles of this message is also, I want you to know that it's a message of comfort, that this is a message of comfort. Matter of fact, whenever the Apostle Paul, you know, started to teach about the rapture, you know, he taught on it because one of his purposes or one of his goals was to comfort the church, was to comfort the believers in the Thessalonican church or the church of Thessalonians. And so this message of the rapture is a message that brings comfort. Amen. Somebody say comfort. Amen. Comfort. How many know we can use a little bit of comfort right now? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. We can use some comfort right now. Amen. And even though, you know, we may be okay, we know that there's a lot of chaos going on. There's a lot of sadness too. You know, you hear about different things and you get bad news sometimes, you know, and it's good to be able to hear a message that is comforting to our soul. And I want you to know that as we talk about the rapture, that's what it is. It's a message that's going to bring comfort to the Christian because why? Because it is our blessed hope. It is good news for us. Amen. We want to be taken in the rapture. Come on, somebody say amen. How many want to go in the rapture? Amen. Wave at me if you want to be taken in the rapture. Amen. We want to be taken in the rapture. Amen. And we don't want to stay behind. Amen. We want to be taken in the rapture. Amen. So tonight, our subject is going to be on the rapture, a message of comfort. Now, that title, of course, it's rooted in what we're going to see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 here in a little bit as we begin to read that scripture. But before we come to that passage and look at it in detail, there are some preliminaries that we need to look at. Now, certainly, one of the surest words from God in all of the Bible is that Jesus is coming again. How many believe that? Come on, so honk if you believe that. Amen. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Someone has said that there are at least 1,527 Old Testament scripture references and 380 New Testament references about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's a lot of verses about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when you look at the New Testament alone, we're not just limited to the personal testimony of Jesus. Jesus said, "I will come again." He told the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, he said, "I will come again." Jesus promised us that he's going to come again. Do we believe in Jesus? Do we believe in his word? If you don't believe in Jesus, then by the end of the service, I hope that you will put your trust in Jesus. But Jesus said, "I will come again." But listen to the words of the angels who were present at the time that Jesus was taken up, or at the time that Jesus ascended into the heavens before the disciples. Listen to what the angel said. The angel said this to the disciples. He says, "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in light manner as you have seen him go." In other words, the same way that he went is the same way he's going to come back. The same way that he went, he was ascended, the same way after his resurrection and he appeared to the 12 and even to over 500 of his followers, and that when, and finally when it was time for him to be ascended into heaven, an angel appeared after he ascended into the clouds. The Bible says that he ascended and the clouds hid him from the eyesight of the disciples. Then all of a sudden he was gone. But then what happened is that an angel appeared to the disciples and he says, "Why do you stand gazing at the sky, you men of Galilee? Do you not know that this same Jesus in like manner will come back in the same way he ascended?" It is the Apostle Paul who refers to the second coming as a blessed hope, a blessed hope. The second coming of Christ is our hope, is a blessed hope. Listen, we are blessed because we believe in this hope that Jesus did not leave us as orphans, but he gave us the Holy Spirit that would be with us to comfort us, but not only to comfort us, but that Jesus himself would come back for us. Are you listening to me, those that are watching online? That Jesus is going to come back. When the Apostle Peter writes, he reminds us that our faith someday shall be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus. In other words, when Jesus appears, we're going to praise God. When we see the heavens rip open, it's going to be the biggest praise and worship concert in history, my friends. Because every Christian and every eye shall see him. That's part of his second coming. When the Apostle John writes to us, he exhorts us to so live so that we will not be ashamed before him at his coming. He's talking to the church. He's saying, church, live in such a way that when he finally comes, you're not going to be ashamed. There's some Christians that are going to be ashamed because of the way they've been living. Come on, don't let that be you. Amen. When the writer to the Hebrews pens his epistle, he speaks in chronological significance and says that unto them that look for him, he shall appear a second time. Did you catch that? Unto them that look for him. Is there anybody looking for him? This is why I preach messages like this, because I want Victory Outreach Grand Prairie and those that are watching online to look for him. I want you to be looking for Jesus. I know that right now you may be looking for hand sanitizer. You're looking for toilet paper. Come on, somebody. But listen, we need to be looking for Jesus. The writer, he says he's going to appear to those. He's going to appear to those who are looking for him. In other words, to those that ain't looking for him, he ain't going to appear to them. So the question is, are you looking for Jesus when you get up in the morning to pray? When you get up in the morning to read your Bible? I hope that you're looking for Jesus. When you walk and you go to work, when you're amongst your family, are you looking for Jesus? So when we look at both the Old and New Testament, we look at them, we see a common theme that both in the Old and New Testament, the Old Testament said Jesus is coming, and the New Testament says Jesus is coming. So the second coming of our Lord, which is one single event. You get that, okay? Learn that. I hope you're taking notes. The second coming of our Lord is one single event. Oh, I guess you know it all. Amen. You ain't going to take notes tonight, man. My God. Listen, just because we're in the parking lot don't mean you shouldn't be taking notes. Oh, come on. Got that chop chop out tonight. Amen. How many know we got to be disciplined people? Are we student? A disciple's a learner. I said a disciple's a learner. If you stop learning, you stop growing. Amen. You can't get so distracted that we don't focus on the word. This is still church. Pastor's still your pastor. I'm still discipling you. The second coming of our Lord is one single event. Get that. You're going to have to get that right there. Because if not, you're going to get lost. Amen. I don't want you to get lost. Follow me now. Now, this one single event can be looked upon as taking place in two phases. two phases or two aspects, okay? This one single event can be looked upon as taking place in two phases or in two aspects. Just at the conclusion of the church period. In other words, when the church period ends, the first aspect of the second coming shall occur. And it will be at that first aspect that our Lord Jesus shall return from the heavens to the air. He will come privately and he shall come for his church. It is at that moment that the church will be caught up to meet him in the air. That's the first aspect of his second coming. Remember, the second coming is one event, but has two aspects. And the first aspect basically is when the rapture takes place. Somebody say the rapture, which we're going to look into that word here in a little bit. So this first aspect of the second coming will occur, and it shall be when the Lord returns from the heavens. In other words, where God is at, because there's what you call three heavens. Did you know that? Nah, you didn't know that. Come on. Some of you knew that, right? Three heavens. First, the highest heaven is where God's at. The second heaven is what you call, it's like the outer space, right? The universe, the outer space. That's called the second heaven. The third heaven is what is every, I want everybody to look up. Look to the sky. Look to the sky. Look up. Are you looking up? That's the third. What you see is the third heaven. Okay? I mean, that's the first heaven. I'm backwards. That's the first heaven. Then the second heaven is outer space. The third heaven is where God's at, okay? You can look at it. But you understand what, you get what I'm saying, right? Those are the three heavens right there. Now, in his second coming is when Jesus comes down from the heaven where God's at to this heaven that you see, and he's going to meet the church right there. That's the first aspect of the second coming. It's going to be a private coming. It's going to be like a VIP for the church. Come on, somebody. Have you ever been to I know where I'm at. I know where I'm at. I'm at Victory Outreach, right? You've been to the club. Come on, somebody. Except for the gang. The gang shouldn't have been in the club, right? Amen. You've been saved. Amen. Right? Come on now. And have you ever been to that VIP section where it's private? Well, listen, this is going to be a private meeting, a VIP just for the church, just for the Christians, just for the believers. This is the first aspect of the second coming. Now, the second aspect of the second coming will be when he shall return to the earth. And this shall be a public coming, and he shall come with his saints or with the church. You get that? The first aspect is when the church is raptured. That's private. It only belongs to the church. The second aspect of the second coming is when it's public. That's when every eye shall see him. The saved and the unsaved. In the first aspect, only the church will see him because we're going to meet him in the air. In the second aspect of the second coming, it will be when Jesus returns to the earth, and it will be a public coming. And he's going to come and we're going to come with him. The whole posse. Come on, somebody. All of us are going to come back with him. Now, between these two aspects of the second coming, the private one, which is for the church, and the public one, which is for everybody. Between these two aspects, there will be a 7-year period, which we talked about, or it's also called the Great Tribulation period. We talked about in the other sermons about the end times, about the 7-year tribulation, the 7-year period. So, the first aspect of the second coming, the rapture when he takes the church, that's the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Then at the end of the 7 years, he's going to come publicly. That's when every eye shall see him, saved and unsaved. That's the second aspect of the second coming of the Lord. Now, there are several words, some in the scriptures, some in the Bible, and some that theologians use. And these words will help us to understand the aspects of the second coming of our Lord Jesus. So what I want to do through my introduction is give you these five major words that are used to describe the significance of each of these aspects. But before I move on, I want us to be clear that we understand about the second coming of our Lord. That it is one event with two aspects. The first aspect is the rapture of the church. Then the seven-year tribulation starts. Then at the end of the seven-year tribulation, Jesus is going to come back, but he's not going to come back by himself. Who's going to come with him? Who? 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 Us. That's right. We are going to come with him. Why? Because we've already been taken in the rapture. Then 7 years of tribulation is going to take place. Then all of a sudden, after those 7 years, Jesus is going to come back finally to settle all accounts. And we're going to come back with him. And when we come back, he's going to establish a 1,000-year reign. And for 1,000 years, God is going to reign throughout the earth. He's going to lock up the devil for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, he's going to let the devil loose just for a little while. Just for a little while. We'll get into that later. But we're talking about the rapture tonight. So I want to give you five major words so that you can understand. You can understand better the second coming of our Lord. The first word that we want to talk about, very simply and briefly, is the word coming. Somebody say coming. Say coming. C-O-M-I-N-G. Come on, spell it. C-O-M-I-N-G. Coming. This is the first word we're going to talk about. That is a word. This is a word that comes from a Greek verb that occurs oftentimes through the New Testament and through the Old Testament to describe this very significant event of the second coming. It is a very general term and has no particular technical significance. The verb, the coming, is used to refer to both aspects, the first aspect and the second aspect. The Lord Jesus said in relation to communion service, and at the Lord's Supper, what did he say in communion? And at the Lord's Supper, he said, this do till I come. Right? Do this in remembrance of me till I come. On again another occasion, he says, behold, I come quickly. Did you get that? So that verb come is used many times in relation to the first aspect. He shall come through the air, and he shall come for his church. Are we the church? Is he coming for us? Tell your neighbor, he's coming back. The same verb is used on many occasions for the second aspect of his coming. In Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25, it gives us the details of that second aspect. And frequently, through those chapters, you have the use of that verb, come. So when we speak of the second coming, we are speaking of one single event that has two aspects to it. The verb coming neatly ties together these two aspects, and they give us the one single event. The second word that we want to note is really is like a translation or a transliteration of a Greek word, and the word is this, paraza. Paraza. The paraza is a translation of the Greek word parose. Get this. This is what it means. If you can't pronounce it, don't worry about pronouncing it. This is what it means. It basically means presence. Presence. Somebody say presence. This word was a cultic expression that was used for the visit of a hidden deity who would come and visit and by his visit make his presence known. In that cult, they would either celebrate his presence in the cult or they would be aware of his presence by some supernatural divine demonstration of power. In other words, they used this Greek word in Bible times or in biblical times, they used this word to describe when a false god would appear to the worshipers of those false gods. They would use this word, presence. So when we look at this word, when we talk about the second coming, what we're saying is that when he comes, his presence will be felt. Come on, somebody. When they referred to the presence of that deity, they spoke of it in terms of the paraza or the perose. It also was an official term or an official expression for the visit of a person of high rank, like a governor or an emperor or a king who would visit a province in an official state visit. The arrival of that official for that official state visit would be described in terms of the parose or the parasa, the presence of that dignitary. In other words, it's like yesterday Donald Trump was in Dallas, right? President Donald Trump. He came and visited the area. A dignitary came and visited our city. So I know that, you know, you're probably not a Trump fan, amen, and it's not political. I'm using it to make a point. Whenever there's someone in a high office, whether it be a king, a president, a governor, that visits a place, you got to think about it like this. Imagine if a king would visit our church right now. You know, that would be a presence. He would come with an entourage. You would see limos. You would see black Suburbans. You would see CIA agents. You would see flags, and they would pull up to the church. And all of a sudden, we'd all be like, wow, what's taking place, man? You know, man, the president's here. The governor's here. What did they bring with them? They brought with them a presence. It's the same thing when Jesus comes back. Listen, I know that we feel his presence right now in church, right? I know you felt his presence in worship, right? But I'm here to tell you there's more to that presence. When he appears, my friend, don't think that it's going to be like a regular church service where you feel his presence and you get goosebumps and you come to the altar, my friend. No, my friend, it is going to be a mega event. If you think the president pulling up with the CI, with this, what do you call it? The Secret Service, and we're wild with them. If you think that's magnificent, it ain't going to be nothing compared when Jesus comes with his entourage, which is going to be us, and his presence is going to be established in this earth. It's going to be like a time like never before, an experience like never before. This is why we got to be excited, and we got to look for his second coming. We got to be anxious for him to come back. So when we come to the New Testament, that same word is used in relation to the second coming of our Lord. What it does is anticipate the arrival of a dignitary. Do you anticipate his arrival? It emphasizes the presence of this dignitary who now has been absent. He has been absent right now. In the physical, Jesus has been absent. We often say, man, I wish I lived when Jesus was around. I wish I was Peter or John or James or Lazarus or Mary or I wish I was one of his disciples. I wish I was around when Jesus is around. Listen, what are we saying? That he's not with us in the physical. He's not with us in the physical. But listen, his presence is going to be with us in the physical at the second coming, at the second aspect of the second coming. His presence will be with us in the physical. That is good news. I long for that day to walk next to my Savior. I long for that day to be able to be in his presence, to be able to see my Lord in the physical, not just in the spiritual, but in the physical. It's going to happen, my friend, because the Bible is real. The Bible don't lie. God's word don't lie. And if the Bible says it, that settles it. One day we're going to look upon Jesus. So, strikingly, this word is used of both aspects of the coming of our Lord. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, as we're going to read in a few moments, we find it in verse 15 when the Apostle Paul speaks of those who shall be alive at the coming. And that is that word, the parousia, the coming of our Lord, or the presence of our Lord. It is used in relation to his coming to the earth with his church. So the parousia, I believe, is a term that draws together both aspects of the second coming and considers the whole Advent as one, or the whole event as one. The parousia, or the Greek word parousia, suggests then the presence of a dignitary who has been absent, and that is exactly what shall happen when our Lord Jesus returns. He's going to come back. He's been absent for a little bit, but he's going to come back. And evil's going to flee. Demonic activity will stop. Viruses will be gone. Sickness will be gone. You know why? Because when he walked on this earth, he healed diseases. He casted out demons. And that was with his limited body. But when he comes back, he's going to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the limits are going to be taken off, my friend. And listen, there will not be no more limits. He will heal every disease. He will dry every tear. He's going to come back. So, he who has been absent for 2,000 years shall become present. Do you get that? Jesus, who has been absent for 2,000 years, shall become present. Think about that. Let that sit in your spirit for a while. He who has been absent for 2,000 years shall be present. The event that will initiate the presence again of our Lord on this earth will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. So when we use that word parousia or parousia, we are thinking particularly of his presence. I think it draws together both aspects and considers it as one event. The third word I want to give you is rapture. Rapture. Now, this word is not in the Bible. This word rapture is the only one of the five words that we are going to speak on, which does not occur in the New Testament. However, the word rapture is an English word derived from a Latin translation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 through 17, where we read that we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. The word caught up in Latin is translated rapture. The Latin translation of that verb is rapio. That is the root verb from which the translation comes, and we have derived an English word from that Latin word. The English word that we have derived is rapture. Now the Greek word that is used here for caught up, whenever somebody asks you, where is the word rapture in the Bible? Just tell them it's the word caught up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So the Greek word for caught up is a very picturesque word. It is a word that suggests two primary thoughts. The first thought is the idea of a robbery. Do you know what that is? A robbery. Think about it. This word rapture carries the idea of a robbery. It is used in Matthew chapter 12 when the Lord Jesus talks about thieves breaking into a house and stealing something. That is the idea of this word. There is a connotation of robbery that is involved. Also, the second thought is that of something that is violent. So one thought is of an idea of a robbery, And also the second thought is the idea of something that is violent, something that is sudden, and something that is almost catastrophic. The Lord anticipates that usage when he uses this very word in John chapter 6, verse 15, where we read that when he perceived that they would take him by force to make him king, he departed from them. He uses the same word. So the word that is used here suggests the idea of a robbery and something that is taken away by force. That, of course, is exactly the significance of this Latin verb rapio. It means to come and to seize and to carry off. And therefore, we have derived an English word from that, and that English word is rapture. This word, rapture, in other words, it means that something that is going to be violent and something that is going to be taken. I want you to know that when the rapture takes place, to the world, it is going to be something that is catastrophic. Huh? It is something that's going to be like, oh my God, who took the church? Huh? You know, so they even say that some people, the world, you know, unbelievers, they're not even going to, you know, even though we've preached about it and there's videos about it on YouTube and on Facebook, the world are still going to try to rationalize it away. Huh? But listen, the church is going to be taken, and it's going to be something that is done violently. The rapture is going to be done violently. Now, the rapture fits in as a descriptive phrase for the first aspect of the second coming of our Lord. The first aspect is the rapture. It is at that moment that Jesus shall come to the earth, and he shall seize and carry off those who are believers in Jesus Christ. They shall be caught up together with him. It is going to be a robbery. It is going to be something that will be violent. And it's going to be something that is sudden. And that is why it is described as that which initiates the day of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it talks about the day of the Lord. Huh? And it's described, You know what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 describes it as? It describes it as a thief in the night. As a thief in the night. There's a movie out there. It's an old movie called The Thief in the Night. You should watch it. It's about the rapture. Huh? That's how Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back like a thief in the night. A thief doesn't tell you when he's going to come break into your house. A thief doesn't tell you because why? Because then you'd be ready for him. That's how the rapture is going to be. So this is why for the church, we need to understand this. Are we ready for him? Because he's going to come like a thief in the night. He's going to come like a thief in the night. It's going to be violent. He's going to come back and take his church. You and I. And we should rejoice over that. Because we're not going to have to be no more in this world that is full of craziness, madness, sickness, viruses, violence, prejudiceness, injustice. We're going to be taken as a church. That's a reason for us to rejoice. But if we're too connected to this world, we won't rejoice in it. This is why we got to disconnect ourselves from this world. This is why we got to ask the Lord to sanctify us and purify us from all the worldly lusts and passions so that we're not connected to this world and we can be free to go be with Jesus and we can rejoice at his second coming and we can long for the rapture when he takes us to be with him. The rapture. God's going to come back like a thief. Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. Like a thief in the night. The Lord shall come. He shall come in the air. And he shall, in an act of sudden robbery, snatch away from the earth those who are believers in him. He's going to snatch away those who believe in him. Do you believe in him? If you don't believe in him, you need to believe in him tonight before you leave this parking lot. So when we use the word rapture, we are speaking of the first aspect of the second coming of our Lord. He shall come in the air privately for his saints in the rapture. Did you get that? And the rapture is when he comes privately for us. Privately. Are you listening? I'm over here. They forgot to put lights up here for me. I'm not be able to see my notes, but don't move. Next time they got to put some lights up here. But listen. He's going to come suddenly. He's going to come suddenly. The rapture. He's going to come for those that believe in him. For those that, and if those that believe in him should be looking for him. He's going to come for us in the rapture. The rapture. You know, sometimes, you know, if you don't have a conviction to preach this and teach this, you'll preach and teach it like it's a fairy tale. If you don't have a conviction, if you don't believe this, you'll listen to this like it's a fairy tale, like it's a children's story, like it's a fictitious story, like a fiction book. What I'm preaching to you is not fiction. What I'm preaching to you is real. What I'm preaching to you is the truth. What I'm preaching to you is the Bible. And the Bible has not proven wrong for over 4,000, 6,000 years. Everything the Bible has told us and prophesied, it has taken place. And we should not think that what has been prophesied about Jesus' second coming will not take place. If Jesus' first ascension, if his first descension came true, and that he came and he was born through the Virgin Mary, and he went to the cross for our sins, and he went to the tomb and he was resurrected, and the Romans could not find his body, nor can his body be found today. If you go to the tomb in Israel, the tomb is empty. You know why? Because he was resurrected, and the Bible had foretold that. And listen, the Bible foretold also about the second coming of Jesus. It's gonna happen. It's not a matter of if it's gonna happen, it's a matter of when it's gonna happen. The fourth word that we want to speak of is a word that is oftentimes attached with the names of churches. The word is epiphany. Epiphany. The word epiphany is again a transliteration or a translation of a Greek word, epiphanes. Epiphany, which means, listen to what it means, appearance. Appearance. Say appearance. 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 This is used in several occasions in relation to the second aspect of the second coming. It is used, for example, in that beautiful text in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, where Paul says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Titus chapter 2, verse 13, you could look at that verse. He says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Epiphany. That is the word. It is the appearing of our Lord. It was a technical term that was used in the days of the New Testament for the visible manifestation of a hidden deity. So when the Apostle Paul and the Spirit of God takes this word out of its secular use and applies it to the coming again of our Lord Jesus, The connotation is that the hidden deity someday shall appear and he shall be seen. That will take place in the second aspect of the second coming of our Lord. This will be an epiphany, an appearing. It will be an appearance of our Lord that makes it. And it's okay, that's gonna blind me right there. So this word epiphany is talking about an appearance. An appearance. So when the rapture takes place, it's gonna be something that is private. Huh? Because it's gonna be private. But when he appears in the second aspect of this of the second coming of the Lord, every eye will see him, the Bible says. In other words, he's going to appear to everyone. The Bible even says he's going to appear even to those who pierced him. Every eye shall see him, the scripture says. Every eye shall see him, even those that pierced him. You know why? Because God is going to raise them up. He's going to raise them up. He's going to show them. He's going to show them, listen, yeah, the one that you didn't believe in, yeah, the one that you killed on the cross, yeah, that one, yeah, I'm back. Yeah, that one that you didn't believe in, yeah, that, yeah, here I am. Yeah, that one that you said, I don't believe in God because I don't see God. Now you see me. Look at me now. Picture me rolling. So this will be the next time that the world sees him. The last time they saw him was on the cross. The last time they seen him was on the cross. The next time they're going to see him is at his second coming. On the second aspect. This world shall never see him until that moment when he appears in the second aspect of his second coming. The appearance. The last word that we should notice also describes the second aspect of his second coming, and that is the word revelation. Revelation. Somebody say revelation. This is used on many occasions also in the scriptures to refer to the second coming of our Lord. One of the most beautiful is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7, where we read, and he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. The word revealed, in other words, is what is unseen to be seen. This will be a revelation. He who has been now hidden and unknown by the world shall be revealed to the world. The word revelation suggests an unveiling. The unveiling shall take place when Jesus Christ returns to the earth. He who is rejected by the world, he who is unknown by the world, shall someday be revealed to the world. Did you get that? He who is unknown by the world, he who was unbelieved by the world, will one day be revealed to the world. That is what the second coming shall be. It is in that moment that the revelation takes place. And the world then shall realize that he is God, that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the soon coming King, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. It is at that moment that the Jewish nation will recognize he is their Messiah. And they're going to mourn over him, the Bible says, at his appearing. He shall visibly appear, and it will be a revelation. He who is unknown and hidden from the world shall be revealed to them, and they shall know him to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah, and to be the Savior of the world. Now, if we can keep in our minds these words, these five words, what were they? Coming. What else? Rapture. Presence. Revelation. Epiphany. Present. Epiphany. Right? Think about these words. Now let's get to the message of comfort. Well, you got to go somewhere? You got a date? I'm going to close it down. Piano, please come up. This is a message of comfort. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. Are you there? Let me get my flashlight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Through 18. Listen to what it says. Remember, it's a message of comfort. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Brothers and sisters. Are we brothers and sisters here? Are we family here? We're family, right? Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. You know why the Apostle Paul has to write this? Because they had a lot of questions. You know, today we know we have a lot of answers because we have a lot of great Bible teachers, and we got a lot of great commentaries, and we got a lot of great devotions, and you got a lot of great Bible teachers. So a lot of us know about this. We know not to mourn for the dead like the world does. They mourn with no hope. But for the Christian, we don't mourn like that because we know we have the blessed hope. We know that, and we believe not only in the second coming, but that we're going to be resurrected because he is the resurrection. But the early church, most specifically the Thessalonians here, you know what they were tripping on? They were like, they're going to miss the second coming because they're dead. Brother so-and-so, he was such a faithful church member. He was such a faithful usher. He was even a martyr. He died for the faith. And because he died for the faith, now he's going to miss the second coming. You got to understand that when Paul preached about the second coming, the early church, they were radical. They believed that the second coming could come at any time. They were always on the ready for the second coming. They were always on their toes for Jesus to appear from the sky. They weren't like the church today that is like casual and callous to the second coming. That's how the church today is, not this church. But they were always like, man, today's the day. Jesus, come back today. There was such an excitement about it. And so whenever they lost somebody, they were like, man, they're going to miss the second coming. And that really caused them to go through it. Imagine going to a funeral, and then after the funeral as a Christian, and they were a believer, the person who died, all these questions would come up like, man, they're going to miss the second coming. It really caused them to go through it. So this is why the Apostle Paul writes, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. I don't want you to mourn the way the world mourns, like they have no hope. We have hope. Verse 14, he says, for we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that? And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Whenever the board fallen asleep, when a Christian dies, the Bible describes a Christian as falling asleep. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. You get that? Follow me now. He says, according to the Lord's word, the Apostle Paul saying, he's saying, listen, this is not my words. He's saying, this is the word from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive when the rapture comes, who are left until the coming, there's that word again, the coming, right? Didn't I tell you that? The coming of the Lord, the first aspect, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. In other words, we're not going to go up before those Christians who have died. No. But it goes on to say, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven. The Lord himself will come down from heaven, the third heaven, where God's at, with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And then look to what it says. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Brother Jackie, he's going to rise first. Pastor Ed Morales, our grandpapa in the faith, is going to rise first. Going to rise first. Your friend that was a Christian, they're going to rise first. Your mom, your dad that was a Christian, a believer, they're going to rise first. And if you happen to be visiting the gravesite at that time, you're going to see them rise first. Come on, somebody. Huh? The dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. In the air. You know why? Because he's not going to come all the way down. That's the second aspect of the second coming. The first aspect is just going to come down into the air where we're going to meet him privately. And then it says, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. He says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. Then listen. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what trial you're going through. I don't care if you're sick in your body. I don't care what you're facing, how many bills you got. Jesus is going to come back. And you're going to get to leave all these problems behind. Your debt's going to be cleared. So encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. He's coming back for us. This is the rapture is a it's not a message of doom. It's only a message of doom if you're not right with God. If you ain't living right for God, if you're not saved, if you haven't put your hope in Jesus, it's only a message of doom for you because you're going to be left behind in the 7-year tribulation. The word tribulation means trouble. The hope is this. The hope is that when the rapture takes place, we're going to miss out on all that trouble. The encouragement in this is this, that even if we do die, we're going to be resurrected. You may say, but Pastor, what happens to us while we're dead? Do we just wait? No, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The part that's asleep is just your physical body. The physical body's asleep in that coffin. Even if you're cremated and they throw your ashes into the ocean, when the rapture takes place, if that cremated person was a believer, God is going to bring every single ash back together and he's going to resurrect that believer. That is our blessed hope. We ain't gonna have to go to hell. Listen, if we believe in the rapture, we better believe in hell. Hell is real and hell is hot. But we're not going there. Because our hope is in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in Christ Jesus. That's our hope. Are you unhappy? You're gonna be happy. Are you poor? You're going to be rich. Are you broken? You're going to be made whole. Are you depressed? You're going to be made joyful. Do you have a problem in your body? You're going to be made whole and healthy and healed. There will be no more disease, no more sickness. The Bible says that we're going to be transformed in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to continue to talk about this on Sunday. I'm going to preach part 2 of this message. The rapture. Are you rapture ready? I hope tonight that I primed you. In other words, prepared you for his second coming. The Bible says that he's coming back for a church without spot or blemish. Can we wash those spots away, those blemishes away? No, we can't. Only the blood of Jesus can do that. Because the blood never loses its power. And so tonight, as I get ready to close, I want to pray for you. Those that are watching online and those that are here in the parking lot tonight. What a beautiful turnout it's been. And I believe God has spoken to us. I believe God is challenging us to look for His second coming. I believe God is challenging us to get closer to Him. I believe God is calling us to look for Him. I believe God is calling us out of this world and not to be tied to the things of this world, but to be united and tied to Him. As you stand to your feet or wherever you're at, I want you to lift your hands right there where you're at in your car. Worship the Lord. If you believe in the blessed hope, just worship Him. Think about the soon coming King.